the Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, May 16th. Pretty close to 6 p.m. If we can have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Mack?
Here.
Commissioner George?
Here.
Commissioner Feller Payne?
Here.
Commissioner Shiro?
Here.
Chair Barr?
Here. We can, everybody please stand and follow Commissioner Mack in our national, in our flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our next item here is agenda review. Staff has requested that we allow some staff communication before we get into the regular agenda. In my mind, I think rather than completely moving item 12, all staff communications, I think we'll just have a specific staff communication that is desired at this point. Are there any other items that fellow commissioners would like to have reviewed or moved around for tonight's agenda?
No, that's fine.
No.
Okay, seeing none, let's... Mr. Downing, you have someone to introduce to us today?
Absolutely. Thank you, Chair Martin. We are honored to be joined today by our new city manager, Jim Bergman. So he's here to introduce himself to the commission.
Good evening, Chair Martin, planning commissioners. I think I know four of the five. Chair Martin, I know we've never met, but I'm Jim Bergman, city manager. I've been on the job for about 3 weeks now, but I work for the city. I think my pin says 5 years, but I think it was closer to 8 years. So I sit across the street, and I'm available to you at any time if you have questions or needs. We have a wonderful staff here, and I'm sure they give you plenty of information for you to make good decisions with. But I also wanted to thank you for your service. I guess I call myself a former planner. I know how much work goes into your efforts for the community and the difficult choices you have to make and the work that you try to do to bring people together instead of just having them half of them happy and half sad when they leave here. So I want to say thank you for your service, and if I could ever be of service to you, just call me.
Thank you.
Well, very good. Welcome aboard officially from the Planning Commission. You're on the air tonight in the community for those that are watching us. And I'm sure you have plenty of opportunity to interface with others in the community. Welcome aboard.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
thank
you.
The next item on here is for community comments and suggestions. This public comment period is an invitation to members of the community to present issues, thoughts, or suggestions on matters not scheduled on this agenda. Comments should be limited to those matters that are within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission, and the Brown Act restricts the Commission from taking formal action on matters not published on the agenda. Is there anybody tonight that wishes to address the Commission on some item that is not on the agenda tonight? Seeing none, we'll close that item. Are there any written communications or anything that we need to add to the agenda for tonight?
None this evening.
Very good. The next item, number 7, is the consent agenda. And the way the agenda is put together tonight, there are two items. One is the approval of the minutes from the prior meeting, and the other one is item 7B, is a consideration of a lot line adjustment. Unless there's a specific reason to separate these out or any of the commissioners have a specific comment on either one of these items, they would like to get either one of these separated out, I'm happy to entertain a motion to approve both together under the consent agenda.
I had a clarification on the minutes.
Okay.
And I had a comment, so let's separate them and vote on them separately, please.
Very good. I'm happy to do that. So the first consent agenda item is the minutes from the April 18th meeting.
Yeah, I just had a clarification. It said Commissioner Shiro spoke in support of the changes of the proposed project. This is on page 2. And would like to see a field for baseball only. It was confusing, but actually what I said there was that I was pretty sure that baseball was okay with their fields as they were. The thing that would be good for this is their football and soccer were able to use less of the baseball fields that currently are there, then baseball could actually apply for a grant for their field, which already exists. So, just to clarify, I don't want the soccer and the football people mad at me. So, actually, I've networked them and put them in contact with a developer. So I said, you guys can voice your needs to the developer, and he can decide, you know, what he wants to propose as far as that it could be a multi-sport field or a single sport field. So that's all.
Okay. Is there some wording, either something you'd like to see crossed out or just clarified?
Just not. I didn't want to see that particular field being baseball.
I think my recommendation would be to take from the semicolon, would like to see a field for baseball only, to the other semicolon. We just remove those seven or eight words that are there. There are grants are available if the field is baseball only and fields of traffic can be worked out. So yeah, it may be baseball only or maybe it may not.
Right.
But it doesn't put you on record of that.
Perfect.
Okay, to remove the words from, you know, would like to see a field for baseball only, I think we can just remove those words from the minutes.
Yep.
Any other changes or comments on the minutes from the prior meeting?
On page 3, the fifth paragraph, where it says, i.e., replace with box oak and not seating. I believe that's supposed to be seedling or 15-gallon. That's my comments.
So it is a 15-gallon. Is that a minimum? Is that just a box oak and not a seedling?
We don't want to see a small tree, but a box tree.
Okay.
As opposed to...
So what we really have there is just a typographical correction?
Yes.
Okay. Those changes, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I second.
Can we have a roll call, please?
Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner Fallard Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner George?
Abstain.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
The item passes on 7B, consideration of a lot line adjustment. Are there questions or issues that any of the commissioners have on this item?
I had a question of staff. And it has to do with the driveway. It looks like there's a driveway that comes off the cul-de-sac and feeds parcel 1, 2, and 3. Does it also include the inside lot? Honeycutt lot, too?
That one doesn't take off the
pivot. I guess my question is we're going through a lot line adjustment and want to make sure everything, I guess, is conforming and everything. I didn't see anything with regards to, like, a maintenance agreement, because that driveway is serving 1, 2, 3, you know, 4 different lots. Was it the intention to have a maintenance agreement also with the conditions of approval? I kind of read through them briefly. I'm not sure if that was addressed.
So, to staff's knowledge, there's an existing driveway maintenance easement that will not be impacted by the lot line adjustment and will be continued to be practiced as it's currently established.
So there is a... I know there's an easement to go over the property, but is there a maintenance agreement for all those property owners to share in the maintenance of that road?
To our understanding, yes, there is an already agreed upon maintenance agreement.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Or?
No. Move to adopt.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner George?
Yes.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
agenda is of public hearings. Tonight we have none. So we'll move on to non-public hearing items. Item 9A is a consideration of amendments to Chapter 12.16 of Title 12 of the Rio Grande Municipal Code, commonly known as the Community Tree Program. Can we have a staff presentation, please?
Absolutely, Chair Martin, and briefly before Director Magdoscu begins. So this evening, the majority of the commission saw this item at the last meeting that we had. It was recommended given the absences of the commission and the valuable input that we received on this throughout the process to have this come back again. So we are fortunate again to have Director Magdoscu with us tonight to go over the revisions of the tree ordinance.
Thank you, Matt. Chair Martin and Commissioner George, I didn't have the honor of formally introducing myself at the last month's meeting. I'm Chris Magdoscu. I'm the new director of Public Works. I replaced Jeff English. I had the honor to overlap with Jeff for about 3.5 weeks, which was fantastic to get that opportunity to do that. Not very many cities do that. And we had brought this before you last month. There are kind of two parts to this. One is I'm wishing that tonight we could get through this matter. We'd like to take this forward to council as soon as possible because several months have gone by. And as you know, there are several projects that we have in the works that involve trees. And I get a lot of tree permits every day, and so I'm wanting to keep this moving. But for the purposes of time, if it's the wish of Chair Martin, I can go through the entire PowerPoint again. I know some of you have already seen that. And then kind of go through that as quick as possible and then touch on the items of concern. And also go through the last three items that were touched on at last month's meeting that are items 10, 11, and 12. Excuse me, comments 10, 11, and 12 that are in your staff report. So is that the wish of you two that haven't had the opportunity to see the full presentation?
I did see the full presentation on playback, so I don't need you to present it to me. So that is
the same with myself.
Okay.
The same with myself. I don't think we need that full presentation again. I'm happy to go through an abbreviated one. But I think highlighting some of the changes that were made and some additional work or whatever supplemental work has been done since that meeting would be helpful to learn tonight. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, well, thank you very much. I will just leave the PowerPoint up just in case we happen to want to go back on an older one. At last month's meeting, there were some additional items that came up during the read-through of the ordinance, and they're on your page 5 of your staff report, not the stamp page, but the actual page number of the specific report. And these were items that came up just based on the discussion of what was here, and that was comment 10, which was to include construction notes on project plans stating pertinent requirements of the ordinance. That was basically a hybrid comment from the consensus of the commission. Took a look at that, thought through it, read the ordinance, and found that, even in my practice, that usually construction notes are developed from the ordinance. You actually can then come up with proper wording that goes into the project set of plans. And so I personally felt, my engineering judgment, that the best thing is to get the ordinance as adopted. What I could do is come back at a future date and just have a construction note plan, either a template or just standard wording that meets the approval of this body. And I say that because we might want to add more things to it that aren't in the ordinance, because that's more for construction than just the whole body is the ordinance. So that's how I felt we've addressed that. So if you have any questions or comments on that, I'm happy to address them now.
I'm not on that item.
I'm okay.
Good.
Were we going to include provisions for whoever the arborist was to attend the pre-construction meeting?
Absolutely.
We talked about that.
Yes.
Will that be a note that goes on there?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I have those written notes separately, okay. So I didn't address that specifically here because it seemed like we had that and a few other little things that came out. I thought, you know, let me come back with a nice developed list for comfort level for you as well, and also it helps us have a streamlined policy, so it's something that we're seeing on every set of plans.
Okay.
And it helps enforce and reinforce the ordinance, so absolutely.
Good.
No, I think that's a great idea. Come back with notes that we can review and tailor it for construction and go on the title sheet. I think that's a good idea.
Absolutely. Yeah, what the council is going to have to weigh in on this when they adopt it. They could add specific things as well, and that was also a secondary, indirect thing. Maybe I should wait, get their feedback, we'll bring it to them in the staff report that says there are going to be some additional things coming forward. Have that weighed in on. It'll be approved that way. Then I can come back with a nice one-time set for you. And I think it'd be great for the staff here because it'll be a template that can be followed. That's the best way to reinforce it. Keeps it legal. Comment 11 was the definition of the drip line and critical root zone be added. We recommended maintaining the current language. I did some additional research and found that what could happen is in the industry standards, if the standards change, you could find yourself having a drip line that's a 90-foot diameter, which could impact development of property. So we thought it could actually negatively impact the property where you have a situation where that tree should go. I'm not saying all trees should go, but it just could impact economic development. And when you do the math on the industry acceptable standard, which is what we use, which is 1 foot away from every inch of tree, so if you have basically a 42-inch diameter tree, that's 42 feet. That's a big area, which is fine. But that can be addressed also on the construction notes by having the specific fencing around the tree and the drip line. So that can come back and be reinforced in that. So we felt we don't need to get more into detail about the drip line and put in specific dimensions because they could change. And then I had to go back and change the ordinance again. So we wanted to leave it more open and broad and say definition of the drip line and let the arborist and the director of public works, myself, work through a specific project in which we feel the drip line could be modified. In my experience in the past, I've found that some trees have the roots, depending on the type of tree, and I'm not an expert, but just by experience, some trees have root systems that are not what you think. You might have a parkway tree situation where the roots are going further down and out under the street, but near the surface on the private property side where they had water, for example. They might be hindered based on existing improvements or existing features of topography of the land. So this allows us some flexibility in leaving it as an open, broad interpretation so that the arborist can go out and make that determination. So that's how we felt we maintained the current status quo in the ordinance and not get specific. Any questions or comments on that?
Chair,
yes, go ahead.
Is there a way to get a list of native trees and then have standards based on that list of native trees so that you have something to go off of as opposed to being so subjective every single time?
Not being an expert on that, I can't answer that specifically. I would have loved to have Pete here tonight to answer that. He's the arborist for the city. He is on medical leave for 6 weeks, and so I could not have him come tonight. There are others on staff, but he's the most knowledgeable of that. So I'd have to get that answered for you and come back and address that separately.
That just might be a nice reference for anyone who is looking to develop their property so they have some idea going into it before the arborist and the city gets involved. If there's a list of native plants and the drip line based on those plants, right, those trees.
Matt, do you want to weigh in on that?
I actually misunderstood originally. I was going to say that we do have a city approved tree list and have different criteria of where those should be planted. But at this time we do not have a native plant list with those types of recommendations.
But again, in my experience, I've found that in some trees, and it can get swayed if a tree's been pruned, but usually there has been a finding that the canopy of the tree is about basically where the root systems head out. I know ficus trees are one of those that do that. So I guess that's the only thing I can answer specifically, but we can take a look at the tree list that we have and compare that to the field, and if I get some typical dimensions, I'll brief you and our brief staff, and they can report it back at a meeting for you.
Because does the city arborist and the city engineer come to every single development site?
Just the arborist, unless there's a specific field issue. But I'm the new staff member here, so I'm not too sure how it worked in the past. Maybe Matt might be able to weigh in on that. I do know that the 1 foot away for every inch of tree is pretty good standard. But as I wrote in here, there are a few instances where you can go up to three times that size. So again,
right.
it there may be a species and they might say here's the standard, but here's the species. We might have some matrix we could make to use as a guide, but I rely heavily on Pete to go out and make that judgment call in the field.
Are we only addressing the native trees or all trees? Because you had mentioned the native trees, the drip line.
I think it's all trees.
So it's
yeah. This
you're going to do all trees.
Not being limited to native.
I mean, mean, you could have an orange tree and want to cut it down. Are you still going to or build around it? Is it going to apply to... It would?
Yeah, yes. Well, you have an interesting situation, and you have flat areas in the city, and you have hillsides. So, you know, root systems grow differently based on the field conditions or where water was at or if there was improvements in the way that hindered it. But we can take a look at the general list and get a feel on that, sure.
I guess for my curiosity, I'm mostly concerned or interested that there's a standard of some kind. If this is an acceptable industry standard, I wasn't specifically familiar. I'm more familiar with a drip line. Maybe as a layman, maybe that's just something that's more typically out in the public domain. I don't have a specific issue with this. I'm assuming there's probably some correlation between drip line and this standard. I think from the history that we've had on a couple of projects is that there was inadequate protection taken for some trees that we thought needed additional protection. And the drip lines were significantly altered in the course of that trimming. And so on some levels, I kind of like the fact that we've got a standard that is not dependent on a tree trim. You know, if you've got an 18-inch diameter tree trunk, that's going to remain as an 18-inch diameter tree trunk, no matter how much trimming may or may not exist. And my concern that it's just not adequate enough, but I'm happy to allow the arborist, you know, and staff to make that kind of, have some flexibility in that, be able to make that determination. So as long as we get that standard highlighted or confirmed and we're not avoiding that or omitting that, that's really my concern.
So this determination will determine the distance around the trunk for which they will place the fence. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. Yeah, in my experience at my previous position in the city of Whittier, we actually had a field case like this where trenching was performed beneath the canopy looking for the roots in the actual size of the ficus tree, and they actually found that the roots weren't there. We all thought roots would be there, and there was 2-inch or less roots within the canopy of the tree, so the root zone was actually, we were in the root zone, they were in the root zone. So I had a field condition verify that. That was very interesting because usually they go out further. So either they went down deeper or they just were not under that area because it was all paved for many years. So partly I think it has something to do with water, looking for water. But then you worry about the stability of the tree as well. But that's entrenching below. And the protection of the tree, you'll still go off that worst-case scenario of using the critical root zone of the drip line as your standard that you've seen here, which is a typical standard acceptable. They just warned us that and doing some research that some trees can have it up to 2 to 3 times larger than that, which is quite large. And that was our concern, was we'd go way out, then it would hinder development, and in the cases we wouldn't know. And in that case, you'd go out, you'd pothole, you could trench and look for it if someone really wanted to challenge us on it. So that's a good thing. You're not done at that point. If someone were to say, hey, I know that's what your standard is, but I really want to know that. Well, okay, then we'll go out and do some holes and look, because it may impact their development, but we'll take that as a case by case, let the arborist make that call and come to me, and if we have to discuss it internally, we will.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, that may have just been my miscommunication. I didn't mean native trees. I just meant because the wording specifically says different species. So in this area, we only have a certain amount of species. We don't have, you know, exotic, you know, tumeria trees here because they don't grow. So when I meant native, I just meant trees that are common in our area, and since we do have a pretty good idea of trees that are common in our area, we should have some sort of a table, at least for the arborist to refer to or developers to refer to, so in their pre-planning they have a rough idea of this, you know, the drip line they should be expecting the arborist to approve or disapprove.
Duly noted. Any more questions or comments on comment 11? And then the final comment, which was the easiest one, which I was a proponent of modifying, and I know that Commissioner Mack was very in on this as well. I believe that what we've done is modified the language, which if you turn to section 12.16.090, which is one of the last sections in the code, M4, I added the or security. And these are the concerns that Commissioner Shiro, excuse me, were bringing up was what happens if someone wants to bring in money to carry a bond for $1,500 or $3,000 could be a little bit a lot for most people. Just put the word security, and that gives some flexibility to the property owner or the applicant to come in with a check or some security deposit of some other form that's lower in value, not carry a bond amount for a duration of a project. So we refer this, so the sentence will now read as a performance bond, comma, or security shall, not a may, shall be required in a form acceptable to the city and prior to issuance of an entitlement, etc. So we made that change. That was a simple change, and I think that we have now a very clean ordinance. Now, I'm picking the ball up from this ordinance. This was previously, you know, drafted and developed before my time, so I don't have a lot of the background on it. It's a very, very detailed ordinance for implementation, so we really have to stay on our toes and make sure we abide by this these changes. So that concludes the three final changes, so it's recommended to review those amendments and recommend to the City Council to approve these changes to the Community Tree Program. Commissioner George.
So 12.16.090A, near the end of the paragraph, it says a subdivider may be required to post a bond. So would that need to change there from may to shall? And then also required to post a bond, would you then also need to add or security?
That's a good catch. I didn't realize that was the that was already in there before. Yeah, we can make that change.
And I have a question about A, and I'm wondering why the tree planting fee was removed from the whole section.
I do not know the background on that unless I go back to the slideshow, unless Matt has any background information on that.
My recollection was that one time we wanted to leave that open, similarly to the bond or security issue, trying to figure out the value of the specific trees that we're protecting, because we had that discussion as well. How do we determine the value of a tree? And in some cases, the actual replacement cost is far greater than any punitive fee we can add on. So that was leaving that kind of open to some of that.
So the tree planting fee that's not part of the developer having to pay fees like parking fees. So that was separate. This tree planting fee is punitive. Is that my understanding? When I read it, it just seemed like it was part of development. You have to pay a tree planting fee.
Oh, you are correct. So that was my misunderstanding again. So the reason we took that out, we used to, with new subdivisions, we used to allow them to pay a fee and the city would actually go out and install the trees. We've got away from that practice, and so in order to not reinforce and get back into us planting the trees, because then inevitably residents see the city planting trees and it becomes a city tree. And so in order to remove that encouragement to have the city go do it, we took that out. So now that they're required as part of the subdivision.
So walk me through that, Matt, because it was my understanding at one of our meetings that was a benefit, because if they had to remove a tree and then plant three more, the property may not have allowed for three more trees to be planted, which is why we had the tree planting fee, so that the city could plant those trees where it deemed necessary.
So that would be a different case. That would be the kind of in lieu tree fee.
Okay.
This would be an actual fee to have the city go out and plant as part of the subdivision individual trees. But if they were to cut one down and have to do mitigation trees, essentially that would be kind of an in-lieu tree fee.
And is that in here?
Yeah,
the tree fee?
Believe it. Not necessarily in that section. I do believe it's in here. And I'd have to try and find that so I can look for that while we continue.
I have all kinds of questions tonight, so I appreciate Vice Chair Mack continuing this item from the last meeting. I have a question regarding the signage that needs to go on the fencing. I don't see the fencing comment saying anything about signage, but it was something that we had discussed with the city arborist at one of our meetings, where he had stated that not only will there be a fence around the tree, but that we would post a sign on the fence as well, stating that that fence needed to be there from the beginning of construction to the end of construction. And I don't see anywhere that we know. It would be under comment number 2, I believe, placement of a fence to protect trees. That in addition to the fence, there would be a sign so that any contractor that came through knew they couldn't just drive over the plastic netted orange fence. But that if that fence were hindered in any way, shape, or form during any part of the construction, that permit wouldn't be issued.
I'm comfortable with adding that wording to this or having that as a part of the construction note process. Either way, whatever the wish of the commission.
Would be my preference to add it to the code. I don't know about my fellow commissioners. But
what I would propose is on M1, it would read like this: each tree or group of trees designated to remain shall be protected by an enclosure of a 5-foot fence and appropriate signage. I can come up with some better words, comma, prior to the beginning of construction. And some sort of informational signage. I can come up with a small way to insert that in there, and then it's in there.
Right, and then fence to remain during the duration of the construction.
Okay. If you would like, I could actually craft a couple words right now and then read it out, and if that has consensus, then I've got it done.
That's fine.
Shall send a copy of the revised community tree program ordinance to all arborists and tree trimming companies. I was just wondering what the frequency of that would be. I have no preference. I just feel like we should have a frequency put in there so that the city staff knows when to do it, how often to do it.
Well, didn't we talk about that? That it would, and it's stated in there that the ones that have a city business license, so when they get their business license, they're given a copy of what the ordinance is.
That's,
you don't have to do it at each project site. It's just a one-time thing.
So all the existing
arborists that have a city business license would generate them receiving a packet of what the.
But you renew your business license every year. So you're saying annually then? That's my question.
I would think that if we make a significant change to it, then they.
Yeah, I have no preference. I just don't see it on here, and I believe it should be spelled out. Whatever the city wants to put in there is fine with me, as long as we have something in there.
And that was a typo, if I recall. I unfortunately didn't update the PowerPoint because I could not locate it. It was done before my time, and so. That building permit wording is supposed to say city business license. So we could talk about that process. I don't know how many have a business license, but there's no problem in having something periodically done. We could do it biannually. We could do it along with the business license renewal. We could do it as often as deemed necessary. We just have to take note of it.
I don't want to add more work to the city staff either. So whatever you deem necessary, it just should be put in there, whatever that frequency is.
Sure. In the ordinance, you would like to have that specificity?
Yes.
What section is that?
What my recommendation would be, and my thought, obviously, it's open to discussion, as we're, informal discussion we're having tonight, would be that whatever little flyer or brochure, that is identifying, the current tree ordinance as it's handed out to someone who's coming, an arborist who is coming to get his initial license, I would hope or expect that there'd be wording at the bottom is that the arborist is expected to confirm changes or confirm that they're working under the current ordinance at the time of whatever application they're making. That way it's a one-time handout to an arborist.
Sure.
That's they may be an arborist in town for 5 or 10 or 20 years, and at some point in time, they may, you know, if they're coming in, that ordinance may be revised over time. I'm not a big fan of creating additional work for the city. Gee, we have 6 arborists that have city licenses, and we're making this change. I think as this gets initiated on the first go-around, I certainly think it's appropriate if we need to mail out 20 or 10, whatever the number of arborists that have city business licenses, get them into their hands. But I would certainly accept wording, you know, reminding them that they need to be complying with the current ordinance that may or may not be incorporated on this historical document that they have. So they could come into the city hall and say, what is the current tree ordinance? Can I get a copy of the current one? They can compare it with whatever old piece that they have. But I'm not a big fan of saying, gee, every year, every other year, you need to be making sure that you're mailing out this thing. I think that becomes kind of tedious for the staff and overstep, you know, for the arborists that are there.
Well, and I don't even care if it's 5 years, but if we don't put something in there, then it's just going to get lost. It's going to be done once. And that's it.
I agree, and I know trees are important to the city, so we know that this should be a part of our job as staff to protect. Being we've had some projects that have violated these things, and I think our initial intent was right once this was adopted by council, we were going to send out, hey, by the way, there were some changes. Here's a revised ordinance. Calls for any questions, and we were going to do more than business license. We were going to take a look at who have contractors' licenses in the area. They'll do some search. It's very easy to do anymore, and do some research, contact local cities, get a few of those around so we at least encompass maybe the county, and just kind of get an idea of where that was, and then just go mail. And then as we see fit, like you say, they come in for a project comes in, we could even hand it to the applicants at the pre-construction meeting. There's all these ways we can keep on reminding them to do it. That won't be as tedious because we can bring it to the actual meeting and say, here. So we haven't created additional work, but we could find a way to make sure they're educated on the note on what's current, because you're right. Sometimes things make changes, and they get an old one. They say, hey, now we're at fault. I wouldn't want that either.
Well, and there may be a period, a point in time where there are no changes made over 2 or 3 years, but then in another, you know, the following year, there are an abundance of changes, kind of like we're doing right now with this significant update.
So to go back on that comment regarding the wording on signage, I couldn't figure out a good way to describe the type of signage, so I'm open to hearing what you might say, but here's how 12.16.090M would, M1 would read. So I'm going to have to read the whole paragraph to make it make sense. Each tree or group of trees designated to remain shall be protected by an enclosure of a 5-foot fence, comma, and informational signage, comma, prior to beginning of construction. The fence and signage shall be wooden, chain link. That's not going to read. I shouldn't say that. The fence shall be wooden, chain link, or plastic barricade fencing. I guess I have to find a way to insert signage in there. I'm going to have to come back with some wording. If you trust me, I can make this work.
Well, I'm going to help you if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
A second here. Just when you get to the plastic barricade fencing, comma, and shall remain for the duration of construction.
Well, I hadn't finished my sentence. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. That was the rest of it. No, I wanted to put, how about I say this, the signage and fence. I'll have to find a way to put the signage in there.
Correct.
I could insert the word signage in that. And yes, and shall remain, I have it as in plastic barricade fencing and shall remain throughout construction. I put as appropriate because sometimes there are times where they might need to move it under observation. But I can leave it in there without as appropriate. I'm fine with that, too, whatever the wish of the commission is. But it will be addressed.
That's fine.
Okay.
I think that's satisfactory.
The engineer and me will figure it out.
Okay, so my last one, 12.16.090H. The last line states the intentional killing, removal, or damaging of any tree as a result of development activity shall constitute a misdemeanor and shall result in the replacement method of determining the tree value being applied. So what is that replacement method?
Well,
because it's not defined.
My understanding of my past experience, you usually value the tree out, and the replacement tree has to equate to that value. I'll ask Matt if there has been discussion on what that value of the tree might be.
Absolutely. So there were two methods that we were previously using. One's the cubic inch of of tree trunk diameter. That typically resulted in a lower value of the trees. The actual replacement method is you having to go find the replacement tree, procure it, transport it to the site, actually dig the site up, which can be quite expensive as well, and replant that tree, whatever that cost actually is, and there's estimating techniques out there to do that. That would be the replacement method.
There's a formula, and I can't remember the formula that was used in my previous employment that was a nice formula, which some could lead to a very, very expensive, I mean, $20,000 type expense, like canary pines. And some of those get very, very expensive, but you get the larger you get, obviously, in size and box size, it gets expensive. But there's a nice formula that I just can't remember the name of it that's used for valuation.
And that's a replacement method.
That is correct, yes.
Perfect. That was my question. Thank you for entertaining my questions.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner George. Any other questions or comments from the commission?
I'd like to chime in a little bit.
Sure.
On that same comment, I thought we're also going to give the option to the developer to do the replacement tree, not just pay a fine or a fee, but also to replace it with a box tree with the same similar value. That was one of the comments I had made previously.
Was it at the last meeting? I'm sorry if I missed that one.
Yeah, that was at the last meeting.
My notes. Okay.
It was actually in our minutes.
Oh, wow. I didn't look at
that. As opposed to a seedling or something like that, a replacement. I was wondering if we could also include the language to allow them to actually plant a replacement tree in a similar value. And that's a discussion for the commission.
Yeah, so Commissioner Mack, the discussion we had with the city arborist was at one point there was one tree that was so big that they cut down that they shouldn't have, that they would have had to, like, get a flatbed truck and city permits for the truck to drive through the streets and that type of that's the replacement method that I was understanding. That I don't even know if that would fit in a box.
Well, I guess I just wanted to have a general discussion with the Planning Commission, and where I'm going with this is let's say you have a landmark tree or beautiful tree that's a focal point of a project site. Developer comes along, hacks a tree, it's
right.
Gone, pays a fee, there's no tree. Why wouldn't we want to also include that they need to plant something back in its place in that same location?
Yeah, that was my question regarding the replacement method, because that tree may not fit in a box, is what I'm saying. It may be so big that it doesn't fit in a box. So if you limit the wording to a box, tree, then how is that going to...
Yeah, but if they cut down a 30-inch tree, maybe we could find that's appropriate to put a 24-inch in or a 5-foot box tree or something. So, to me, it's better to get something than nothing.
And are you thinking this is perhaps in lieu of a total fine? Let's assume that this presentation tree is cut down and this replacement method is, let's say it's $10,000. I'm just, as a hypothetical example. But in lieu of paying, are we going to give that developer an option? You can either replace it with a similar or like tree, or you can pay a $10,000 fine. Are you thinking that in lieu of that or partial?
I'm kind of thinking.
How do you want to approach it?
How I would approach it is something needs to go back. And let's say it's a box tree. We don't know how big a box the tree is. But then you take the value based on the value that is here on the actual cost of the tree, subtract it from their fine. That's what I'm thinking.
So you're recommending providing a credit as they replace the tree that was cut down, but give them a credit of some kind against whatever fine they might.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, the fine for that.
That's what I was hearing you say.
I was trying to say that.
The fine for the last tree that got cut down was $1,000, and that tree was worth more than $1,000. That's why the replacement method was so important to me to review here, because that fine was so insignificant that.
So this is where I'm going with it. So let's say the tree that was cut down was a $20,000 tree.
Right.
And the developer comes in and replaces it and is required to replace it with a tree, but it's a $2,500 tree. Well, you'd subtract that off the fine, and now he has to plant the tree plus the balance of the remainder of the fine.
My recollection was that the city arborist said that we were basically using a book that said this particular tree and this size was worth this much money.
And the reality is that the replacement of the actual tree was way more than that in a lot of cases.
That's so, what's generated as doing so, redoing the ordinance is because
right.
it wasn't clearly defined.
So the replacement method that he's talking about is the second replacement method of actually replacing the tree, no matter how big. And you can't get the you can get huge oak tree. Thing is, you have to get a permit
that's
to get it down the freeway,
yeah.
and
right.
that in itself is an extremely penal method of doing it. My recollection is I thought we were going to give some leeway to staff to say, okay, look, this was totally, didn't do it on purpose. There was no real malice at all. But if they thought that it was, then they had the ability to say, no, you're gonna actually replace that plus the fine.
Right. And this wording is for the intentional killing, removal, or damage.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Can I offer a suggestion?
Sure.
Please, reading through it at the address, Commissioner Mack, I am very sensitive to what you're saying. I've had history with this, and it gets fairly, really ugly. What I highly recommend is the ordinance is the ordinance. It's the law. So what we're talking about is policy. I would rather, and this is something I was talking with Pete about, it's totally separate than the action you'd be taking, was having this more of a policy guidance document, much like the construction notes that have things above and beyond. What you say, I think, is held up in the ordinance by having the words replacement method. I would rather have this tree policy that I write up, again, grabbing information from this, using what you said, and that allows a project that gives us some flexibility. At the ultimate, I'm overseeing this, so I'm the body that's going to oversee this. You even have some power in here. I think as long as the ordinance has the law clearly written, we can develop the policy, and that could be the policy. And I'd rather do it in that vein. I don't know how I can word it in there about credits, because I think people will read into it too much, and something could happen, unless I change that replacement method and give it some sort of a guidance in a definition, like replacement method means, in the definitions, a tree, something like that. And then I have to go back and change something in the definition. I'd have to reread this entire ordinance again to see if I can make that cleaner. But I understand your concern. You're totally right. Because they go in and they say, oh, here we go. And they don't really get penalized.
Yeah,
right?
they need to get the penalty, obviously, but they also need to put a tree in the ground. No matter how big it is, we need to put something back in its place.
I mean, I've had projects where we had a canary pine 80 years old. There was no way you could get a 100-foot tall canary pine. Now, it wasn't an intentional killing. I know this is a little bit off topic, but it's sort of a similar idea. We made them come in with a 60-inch box canary pine because they grow to 10 to 15 feet a year. And they put it in. And it was sort of a penalty in a way, but it was a condition of approval, so it was a part of the conditioning process that we did on the project. This is that last sentence. When you read it again, it's the intentional killing,
mm-hmm.
removal, or damaging of a tree as a result of activity shall constitute a misdemeanor, and shall result in the replacement method of determining the tree value being applied. So that's more about the intentional killing versus. So I think that's what you're saying is that if someone were to look around, tree goes down, you want something right there that says that. And I just don't know how I can reword that because the replacement method is left very broad.
Right, and is replacement method, is that a standard term? So anyone who reads this will know replacement method means
I think that's
that
what Pete said, is that in that same manual that they were talking about,
mm-hmm.
for plant appraisers,
mm-hmm.
there is a second method called the replacement method.
Yes.
Okay.
It's guidance documents. Remember, it's really tricky with ordinances because an ordinance is the rule, the law. It's like the vehicle code. But then there's policy documents and guidance
right.
things and understandings of what it means. And I think there's consensus. And the good thing is we know what we want to do. We want to avoid what's happened. But, again, the construction notes are very key to having a constant, consistent set that's reflective of this, which we have to keep us on our toes to make sure whatever we change here, we change on the notes and the conditions of approval on the project. And the purview you have as a commission body, I mean, you can see if something comes to you and say, I want to see this.
Okay.
So I think it's good as written. I think the consensus is there, and I think that you're strong in that point. That gives staff some direction to make sure we warn any development that comes in on anything that's development-based that we can condition, even if it's water and sewer, that if we want to upgrade something, here's why. And I think that can be handled that way.
Okay, I agree. I think in an effort to get this, I'll say resolved tonight, because what we're really doing is making a recommendation and getting this ordinance passed on to City Council for their review. What I would just do is I would like our notes, our meeting notes, to reflect that specific, you know, credits or, you know, determination of replacement will be included in policy notes that will be promulgated by the Public Works Director. And as this is presented to City Council, hopefully you can just kind of highlight that. This was a real critical aspect of which really prompted the review of the tree ordinance, because it was obvious that a developer can come in and at $1,000 a tree, you could drop 5 trees, and it becomes just a very nominal part of the construction cost. And the penalties and the resolution seem woefully inadequate for what we were really trying to do by protecting trees, within a development or within the community. I don't have a problem with, giving staff some of that flexibility, but I think it's important. And what I'm hearing, certainly from my fellow commissioners, is that they're policy is created that'll supplement or clarify the ordinance in this specific area, partly just to give you clarity as you're going out on a project and you know what you're dealing with, but also give clarity to any kind of developer, any tree arborist, contractor, that they know that these are the rules of the road in this community. We don't want them onerous, but we want them clear that you just don't cut down a tree in a cavalier manner without some kind of consequence.
These ordinance issues were addressed about 10 years ago when a developer cut down trees on a commercial lot. And I think, if I recall right, his penalty at that time was $40,000. So, I mean, it was a big issue. And I think at that point, contractors had kind of a heads up and they were watching what they're doing. But then over a period of time, it's gotten lax again. So maybe, maybe it takes one person getting hit again and all the contractors are going to be aware of it and we don't go along with that problem. But, yeah, that was quite a big deal. Were you here at that time?
Unfortunately, no.
Well, fortunately.
Fortunately, depending on how you look at it. And I think, that is a good point as well. So, obviously, with kind of the ideas of notifying the companies that do tree work in our community, both in St. Louis and Santa Barbara counties, alerting them to the change in ordinance and notifying them on some other annual, biannual, five-year annual basis of the rules and regulations or at the time of business license renewal. I think that will kind of constantly keep them and keep it in the forefront of their mind as well as in city staff's mind to where these types of issues don't happen again. And I will echo a comment I believe I made at the last meeting too, or maybe I thought it to myself. This did get brought up because of a very tragic incident. But that's not the constant theme. It does not highlight all of the number of times that the tree ordinance actually does work for us and does protect a lot of the trees in the community. So I'll throw that out there as just an observation as well. And I almost called you Chair George. Commissioner George's point made earlier about the in-lieu tree fee, that is a standard condition that we have, which is the 3-to-1 replacement. If you'll remember when we had to discuss that last time, we wanted to leave that as a condition of approval to allow the Public Works Director the flexibility to either adjust that 3-to-1 ratio depending on site characteristics, and we also kind of wanted to get away from us maintaining and taking that in lieu tree, A, because we were running out of places to put it, and then also
sort, not a practice, something written, because you can be challenged, and I don't want to be challenged. And it's when I receive a tree removal permit, and Pete or an arborist goes out, he will also make a finding. So it may even qualify for a removal based on what is in the removal guidelines. However, I have found that we actually tell the person if they can do something different. We recommend and suggest changes before they remove it. That's not in here. And so that kind of got me a little scared. So I said, well, we're making a call in the field, which is great, to protect and save trees, you know, recommend pruning and whatnot. But if they come back and challenge us, or let's say that's an attorney, and they say, well, show me where it says that. Well, it doesn't say that. Well, then why are you doing it? That becomes discretionary, and that's bad. That's why I want the policy off this, and I want to keep the ordinance as the law and then get the policy saying it is the effort of the city to do this and, you know, make a one-shot effort at pruning or do something, because it won't be held up in court, and that puts some liability on us too. So that's why it's very important to get this through so the policy comes in quick and written out some way, nice and easy, bullet points, whatever it might be, say here. That will be very helpful too. It'll water that down, because this is all citywide. So I wanted to go on record to say that, be transparent about that. We are making sure that they make an effort as well, regardless of the ordinance.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you. Any other questions or comments on the this tree program from the commission?
No. I just want to make sure that when they're doing the pre-construction meeting on site, that the tree ordinance guidelines be made available on site to the contractor. If he doesn't have an arborist at that point, he should, but that way it kind of clears it up.
Absolutely. One additional comment to that. I mentioned this at the last meeting, so I'll repeat it for the commissioners who weren't there. We have also gone through and already changed some of our standard conditions. So the tree protection fencing requirement, we've actually, it used to be before issuance of a grading permit. But that didn't address some site grubbing and things you can do on your site without a grading permit, so we actually changed that language already to say the tree protection fencing shall be installed prior to any work on the site. So we are doing some things like that too. So even at the pre-construction meeting, the fencing should theoretically be up if they're that close to actually starting construction. So yes, to your point.
Also in making sure that the arborists, even though they're not working on a specific site that relates to a development, is aware of what the guidelines are before they go out and cut a tree on a private property or prune them. Because, you know, your typical residential lot, they're not going to be aware of what the tree trimming ordinance is. They're going to have to rely on the arborists that they're hiring. And I know I hire them all the time to trim trees, so not oak trees.
Yeah, we can look at a as simplistic as possible, an outreach or an educational program, whether it's on the website, whether it's a mailer in the water bill. Again, not to make it tedious, but there's ways to hopefully get that out, because it's true, not everybody knows there's these kinds of things. Someone does something behind your back, but education outreach is the first thing. You say, look, I put everybody on notice.
Well, you can see how many people here.
Yes. This is a very detailed ordinance. I have never, you know, in my experience, it was a lot less onerous, and if a private property was actually outside the purview of you could do anything you want on private property. So this is very detailed. So I'm saying something very, very interesting to manage in our department. A limited staff, so we're going to do our best. We're going to do our best.
Matt, I just want to ask you, how is this going to affect tree that's already been approved on a previous subdivision that is a very historical tree, and I didn't vote that they had the opportunity to take the tree down, but it got approved that way. Is there going to be any repercussions on that tree, or is it just gone?
So those projects that were approved with tree removals being allowed will still be allowed. I believe I know the specific site you're talking about. We won't name it, but so that will continue to that specific tree will continue to be allowed to be removed. Moving forward, as projects continue to get approved, obviously the conditions will be updated, the tree ordinance will be updated, and so they'll have to comply with the current tree ordinance. permits as well. If they're already at the point where they've received their building permits and things like that, they're to some degree beyond what we can and can't make them then go back and do, but we will make every effort to. I mean, this is the fourth time that we've discussed trees at the meeting, so this is definitely an item we will be keeping a close eye on.
Yeah, I just hate to see that one that was approved. I'm not going to say we approved. That was approved, removed, because it's such a beautiful tree. It's, you know, historic tree. It's got to be 100 years old.
Unless the project expires, that would be under the new guidelines, right? If the permits go out.
Okay, unless there's additional questions or comments on this particular item, we don't have a specific resolution that is included with this little packet.
I'll make a stab at making a recommendation to approve the consideration of the amendments to Chapter 1216 of Title 12 of the Roy Graney Municipal Code, which is a community tree program, and recommend that the revisions carry on to City Council for approval with the following changes, which is to M1. To be specific, it's 12.16.090M1 in the inclusion of an informational sign and additional words as deemed by the Public Works Director to insert in there. And I'm not sure if there's anything else to add that we've discussed.
98.
Yeah.
Revising that to make sure it reflects the same bonding.
Yeah. And reflect the same bonding.
Or
yes.
Similar language as before.
Correct. Consistent. The language shall and security.
Correct.
And the motion was also include that specific notes for construction notes will come back to the Planning Commission for review to go on all projects that have trees.
What's happening to projects?
We have a motion. We're waiting for a second here.
I'll second.
Okay. I'm certainly happy to entertain questions or comments pertaining to the motion.
What's going to happen to the projects that are already in process before this gets a final approval? If we continue it and bring it back again for approval of that, then it's got to go to City Council and get approved. But we've still got projects coming down the line that may have, you know, tree removal or impacts. Are they going to have to go by what's existing or what is proposed? So by dragging this out for 2 or 3 or 4 more weeks, you
we're
know,
not,
we could
I don't think we're doing that, are we?
No, my understanding is we're going to pass this on to City Council.
This is a recommendation to City Council.
Okay.
Yeah, for their approval.
Yeah. City Council is the only one to make policy decisions. We're making a recommendation that they change the tree ordinance.
Right.
Yeah, and as Mr. Downing mentioned, permits and projects that are in the pipeline that have either been approved or close to approval, I'm not sure where the tipping point is in that approval process, but those that are in the pipeline or closer having been approved, they're all going to have to comply with the guidelines and the rules and regulations that are in existence at that point in time. So there could be a project that could be approved tomorrow, even though we've made this recommendation tonight. These are not, haven't been approved by City Council, so they're going to be approved under the current conditions. And it's only after these conditions and these changes are approved, assuming they get approved by City Council, that they become enforceable, and then any project that comes and gets approved after that point in time will be the ones that will do it.
Well,
so
yeah, that's what I'm concerned about, because we don't know, you know, what's going to come up next 2 weeks from now.
I believe it's an issue, but without protracting the conversation too long, I'm concerned that getting permits approved is a cumbersome enough process within the city without saying, okay, what that we want to recommend that you put on hold any project that's already in the pipeline pending a future decision by City Council. I'm of the opinion that if we've got things in the pipeline, we need to continue to encourage and push them through as accurately and as honestly and judiciously as we possibly can. But, recognizing there may be changes or sensitive to potential changes, but certainly from a legal standpoint, they'd have to be in compliance with the rules and regulations that are in place at that time.
The only thing is, as part of their conditions of approval, we can add conditions in addition to what's on the guidelines. Right. So that's why I'm saying, if we have a project that comes through and these are not initiated yet, we still have that opportunity of saying, hey, you have to do conditions 1, 2, and 3.
This ordinance is not going to preclude us from being able to make specific conditions in any project that comes before us at any point in time.
Correct.
And getting this out and behind us was important because the policy side, there's consensus. We know as professionals, we're going to look at projects and condition appropriately too, given what you said. So that doesn't have to be in this document. That's what I was concerned about, having it too overridden where it now becomes a policy and if it changes all the time or what council could change. I will say July 11th council meeting is a dark meeting. So all I have left is basically June because I've got to get the ordinance on the books. And there's an introduction, an adoption, and it takes so many days thereafter. So this is going to go into July. So basically 2 months from now, at least before this really becomes in the code, we still have 2 months. And within that next 2 months, I want to not develop any policy documents or any construction notes until I get consensus from the council because they could turn that around and say, well, I don't want a written policy, but the ordinance is good enough. Okay. Right? So I'm going to step back and take some notes, introduce that into the staff report, get their buy-in on that because I'd like to promote that. Meantime, we could easily develop simple construction notes to get us through this based on the consensus. A couple of bullet points, shall conform to the tree program, and which includes, but it may not be limited to X, Y, and Z. We could do that really quick in the project set of the pipeline, so we wouldn't be missing anything. So that's a good thing. But the ordinance was key.
Yeah, but it also doesn't preclude if we see a project at our next meeting.
Oh, absolutely.
Was on the agenda. Hypothetically, we have a large project that's got trees in it. It certainly doesn't preclude us from being able to make specific conditions on that project as we see it at that time.
Absolutely. Just like architectural and other treatments to a project, you'd be able to do that.
Same. Okay, I have a motion and a second on the floor. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner George?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
Chair Martin?
Yes. That motion passes. Let's move on to item 9B, a consideration of capital improvement program for fiscal year 2017 and 18. Can we get a staff report on this, please?
Sure. Public Works Night. Part 2. Item 9B tonight is a snapshot of our capital improvement program for this coming fiscal year and have a finding with the consistency with the general plan. So we're going to treat this more in the vein of you approving the consistency with the general plan but not approving the projects. That's a city council decision coming forward, and these are some of the projects we have. So before tonight, pretty exciting what we've got. I'm going to highlight a few things. The staff report before you actually highlights a few snapshot of projects, and then there's an attachment in the back for the purposes of the presentation. I actually listed most of them in here so at least you can see them all on one screen rather than flip around between the report and pages. But the purpose of tonight is to review the CIP for conformance with the city's general plan, and that is also in conformance with the government code section 65103C, which requires each planning agency to annually review the CIP for consistency with the agency's general plan. And those items are listed out before you in your staff report, or several of them. Added a couple little things to this for you tonight just so you can have it as background. So if you had just general questions about projects, you'd know. We're utilizing various funding sources for the $2.3 million worth of work, various street, drainage, safety, ADA, sewer, and water projects. And the budgeted items support the City Council goals for infrastructure improvements. So those are two little just side notes for you. Just a quick snapshot. Some of this is from our last week's budget meeting. As you can see, kind of in that little pie chart over there to that orange color, our capital improvement fund is about $1.9 million, and then we have some enterprise funds and some other funds. So enterprise and CIP funds are usually what fund the program for water, sewer, and everything that'll be listed in a future slide. Enterprise funds, for those of you that don't know what an enterprise is, it's a great source of income it's almost like having a savings account separate from your general fund, as you know. And our water and sewer funds have been slightly lower the last couple of years because of something called the drought. people not watering and therefore not flushing toilets, and therefore you don't get the effluent and you don't have the water usage. So those have kind of dropped a little bit, which kind of pushed out a couple of our CIP and water and sewer out another fiscal year. So instead of building it in 1 year, we're going to design it and then build it to let that fund balance pick up again, which we think will. Revenue generation always remains a concern. Gas taxes change, sales tax changes, economy is different than what it used to be. People are shopping on Amazon and different sources, and they're not always buying in stores, and so your sales tax drops. So we always have to take a look at that, and that's why this is a moving target. And then the capital improvements that we have herein are listed in our master plans, and we reprioritize, as you know, or defer of longer-term projects based on the funding sources and their availability there, too. Our local sales tax fund, we have the 10-year revenue and expense plan. I'm still new here, so I'm not too in on all the details behind that. This is something from our Debbie Malico, from our legislative affairs director. We like to balance our ongoing with one-time expenses because some projects can cost a lot of money. We want to make sure that we get the best bang for the buck on our investment for asset management. And this maintains the investment in the critical infrastructure, which is near and dear to my heart, which is your pavement, streets, sidewalks, and bridges. Very unique city in the bridges it has and what is going to happen in the future. And then we have drainage and flood protection listed there as well. So there's some dollar amounts for you just for your background. Other funds and challenges ahead, as I kind of mentioned, the gas tax and transportation fund, CDBG funding, Recreation Community Center Fund, inadequate to meet the needed improvements of our 50-year-old Elm Street Rec Center, and then our transportation facility impact fees, and Briscoe is still a priority after 20 years, apparently has been in the works. Any questions on that slide?
I just wanted to go back just very quickly. CDBG is a great acronym for something. Can you just...
Community Development Block Grant.
Very good.
That's federal.
Federal funds, essentially.
Federal funds. There are some strings attached to that, but they have a very nice, clean scope that you can use towards that. But my understanding is the uncertainty means we're not necessarily getting the money we used to get, and I have not been here long enough to know what that money used to be. But it was a great funding source because it was a little easier to manage. The reporting was very difficult for the economic development folks, but public works folks loved it because we didn't have to do the reporting. We just got the money set aside. We had it in the budget. We did some really good projects with those.
I just want to get that clear. There are many people watching
at home.
He blew by that so quickly. What does that really mean? So thank you for the clarification.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Yes, apologize. I forgot we are a televised commission. So our new projects, and again, these are some of them that I'm going to go through a couple of slides. They're identified in your staff report, but, again, they're all over the board, so I thought I'd put most of them in here for you. We have our fire station driveway repair, very, very small project in which the driveway is crumbling where they make the turn as they come out of the garage, if you will. There's an area there that's damaged, and we're going to repair that. Our Ash and Strother Parks, our restroom roof replacements, they're leaking, so we're going to be kicking those out a little bit farther out because some of the funding's a little bit tight on those, but we're going to keep it going right now. Strother Park, large play structure, that's going to be moving forward. I don't know the scope of that project, but that's something that will help benefit that side of town where they don't have a play structure. I'm looking into some alternative funding techniques. It might not make the fund, but it's a program called Kaboom. We did that in Whittier, and you have to have certain criteria, and it's actually a very good program because some of the money comes from the Kaboom program, and you build the play structure in a week. And you partner with a nonprofit, and Kiwanis and I are talking about that. So if we meet the Kaboom criteria to grant, we're going to move forward with that. Unfortunately, the timing has dropped. We have to probably wait till next year. So we're just going to keep it in the mix right now and just see if there's alternatives that we can look at for other locations. And then obviously our Soto complex, we have some ADA improvements at Santos Field. I believe that's a ramp we're going to put in there and comply as part of our barrier removal. Our Women's Club kitchen barrier removal. So our kitchen is being used more, and the ladies at the Women's Club are excited about this. This will actually allow for a more improved condition of the kitchen, in compliance with the new ADA laws and all the requirements of the building code. As part of that, on a separate project, we're going to be looking at some of the ADA improvements around the Women's Club because, as you know, the parking lot's a mess, and the ADA's location and some of the path of travel out there is very, very awkward. So we're looking at that. And again, some of these are new to me, so I don't know all the details of those yet. I'm still working on that. Our Elm Street Community Center, obviously an outdated structure. There's some opinions on that, but we're going to be looking forward with some alternatives on how to handle that community center project. Swinging bridge reinforcement, we have Quincy Engineering looking at that right now, some of the alternatives of doing some reinforcement. As you know, only 5 can cross that bridge. I'm sure there's a factor of safety in there where there's maybe 10, but we don't want to promote that. We'd like to keep it to 5 because we're analyzing the bridge right now. That's a very great pedestrian crossing, if you will, to get to the older side of town. Our pavement management, this is my bread and butter, is always ongoing. Funding is always lean on that. We're developing our list of streets right now and moving forward with our annual soil seal and some overlay projects. And the list of streets haven't been publicized yet because we're still working on the list. Our traffic way bridge improvements, old bridge, we're working on that. And just the overall bridge preventative maintenance plan, which is a separate study we're working on for all of our bridges. That helps us with our funding as well. But we have to do an inventory on that, bring that back to council. Corporation Yard Stormwater, to comply with the unfunded mandate of the stormwater rules that we come down from the State Water Resources Board, we're working on various items of reconstruction at the yard to cover stockpiles, keep certain things protected from rainwater or leaking there too to different sources. We've already done a paving project as step one out there to help create a better drainage and less tracking of soil off-site. We have some old storm drain that rotting away under some of our roads, and we're working on a CMP lining projects. And then just our open channel maintenance, which is just an all-around snapshot of stormwater compliance, creek maintenance, storm drain master plan. It's a very, very comprehensive study that we want to do on our open channels that are overgrown and who owns what, who should maintain what. And we're working on that. That's going to be very challenging for me personally to get through on that because there's a lot of moving parts on the open channel maintenance program. And then some of our sewer projects here, got two. We highlighted our force main replacement at lift station number one. Again, I'm still new. I haven't gotten the full scope on what that means. I'm assuming it's an older force main. And then our pike sewer line replacement. We have our water projects. We're going to do some well siting. Our well number 7 evaluation is underway, and our water reservoir number 7 is underway. And then our galvanized service replacements, which we try to do to get ahead of all our slurry seal and overlay projects. A lot of galvanized pipe, as you know, is corrosive over time. And you know, after so many years in the ground, we want to make sure that those service laterals are replaced, which is a very good program. That's, for me personally, I think that's a very unique way to spend money on the water fund for our customers. That's an investment in our infrastructure, and I think that's actually a very good, awesome program that we do that here. And again, just in conclusion, this is coming to you before you tonight is just mainly for government code compliance and enables the budget approval by the City Council and project implementation to enhance and improve the infrastructure in the city. I am pleased to move this forward with you tonight and take any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Mr. Shiro, do you have any?
I guess just the process of just take, for example, Soto Field. How do the improvements, I know there's a lot of things that need to go on at a place like that. How does that get prioritized and who does that? Is that staff?
Some of that came before my time. I believe staff initiated a three-phase program because I noticed there was a phase 3. And I'm not sure if there was a needs assessment performed. I don't have the background on that. Those come before my time. Matt, do you have any history on that?
On that specifically, no, but typically we do kind of a needs assessment, whether it's city staff driven or whether it's using some kind of specialized consultant driven. That kind of gives us, here's everything that needs to be done, or under the general plan, here's where what we want to do to maintain specific service levels, and here's what we need to do to maintain those. And then all of that basically gets put into a report that's ultimately prioritized by the council with adoption.
Okay. And then, I mean, where is something like Parks and Rec Commission, are they involved if they get input for a certain part of something like that, where
They would have a role in this as well. That's one thing that I haven't, again, got my arms around was where it generated from. But usually a building official of a city would go out and look at our facilities and say, hey, you have issues here with fire and safety type of situation,
right.
Parking count, ADA stalls, and just overall usage. And given the fact that that field is used by so much ever increasingly from what I gather and what I see daily being at the yard, I'm assuming it was a staff-initiated initiative.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
To piggyback off that, and maybe not that I'm trying to put words into you, Commissioner Shiro's mouth, but I think a location and a facility like Soto is just used by so many different youth groups that I would hope as part of that Parks and Rec component of getting them included in that kind of conversation, I hope that there either was or there can be an outreach to some of these different organizations, because you know the soccer organization may have issues that the city staff may not see when they go out and make their observation. And those issues that soccer teams are dealing with could be very, very different or subtly different than what either some of these youth baseball organizations are seeing, or the softball or football or any one or the other. A number that facility is used almost 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. It's very, very popular and highly used, which means it gets a tremendous amount of stress. But what I'm also hearing is that with a project that's that large or that complex, with that active of public input, at minimum Park and Rec Commission, and hopefully get some the users and the public input on some of those things to be included on whatever kind of maintenance and improvements need to be made on that.
Absolutely, and being new here, I have some thoughts on Soto. We have a lot going on there. It's a very all-inclusive on a lot of parties that you say. I mean, you've got not only do you have ADA, but you have the wear and tear in the field, other maintenance, the detention ponds, the lighting, parking, a lot of issues, and it's actually on my work plan, my internal work plan, to start looking just as overall as a whole level of service, if you will, and looking at that as well. But the good thing is moving forward with an ADA improvement to make that part ADA compliant, and I believe that's the last part of getting down to the field. Everything inside will then be compliant with ADA. It's now the outside and other areas we may just need to look at for other reasons, but this is a good, we're going to move forward with that as soon as possible.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
Well, wouldn't you reach out to whoever, the board of directors for each association, girls softball, baseball, soccer, whatever, because I know I was on softball board for 18 years, and we got comments or requests that we made to the city. So reaching out to those people, I mean, they meet during season time at least once a week. So it would be an easy way to make that contact.
Yeah, so there'll be some changes in the recreation arena in the very near future. So we're going to be having to reevaluate the whole process, especially with outreach to the groups.
Other questions or comments? Is that your presentation's concluded, Mr. McNeil?
Yeah, I know I went over everything really quickly, but it's mainly because of what your purview is. I'd love to go into every project as detailed as possible, but I wanted to highlight as many as for you tonight. So also to educate you, you may get asked by people, what's going on over there? Like, hey, you have a chance to look at it. It's flipping through a table isn't one thing, but yes, I've completed my
very good. Any other questions or comments from the commission?
Yeah, I just have one that wasn't on your list at all. What's going on with the Mason Street Bridge? You know, I walk across it periodically, and I notice there's a break in the concrete on the railing. Separation, not a break. So
that last bullet right there, Commissioner Payne, is the bridge preventive maintenance plan. I don't see a Mason Street Bridge project right now listed in here. I know the other two have been in the works for quite some time.
Yeah.
That maintenance plan is going to help us get to that point to take a look at it. From just a preventative maintenance on the surface, we can take a look at the pavement and fill in the cracks. But overall, that maintenance plan will tell us our deficiencies in the asset, and that's going to come to City Council
in
6 months.
That was a break in the railing, not in the asphalt. Separation in the railing along there. I don't know if you've walked across there, but
I have. I haven't looked that close at it, but I have walked across it. I noticed it's very old.
We haven't done any revitalization of that bridge in years.
Bridges are millions, as you know. And that's what our consult team is going to help us with, was develop what what we need to do for safety, obviously, and you have aesthetics. You have a lot of that that goes on with it. But the investment in the infrastructure is so expensive, as you know. And then working over our creeks, you got the permitting and the funding. I'll take a look at that and see if there's something on there that we can repair. But that maintenance plan is going to outline the deficiencies in the system and how much it's going to cost to get them into a level of service in today's standards.
Yeah, repairing it before it becomes a real issue.
Yeah.
Less expensive to do it that way. That's it.
Okay.
Commissioner Mack, do you have some questions or comments?
Yeah, basically my comment is we're basically here to look at the capital improvement program and see if it's consistent with the general plan. And from all indications I see, all the improvements on your list are consistent with that. And it was really helpful that staff put all those policies in the resolution. Made it really easy for me, so I didn't have to go through all the documents and the books and read them for myself. You got them all listed there, and thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
What we can't do is ask City Council to prioritize another project that we might see a need in the community. That's really not what we're here to evaluate, so I just wanted to say that. City Council's been prioritizing different needs and projects within the community, and I just want to say I'm ready to entertain a motion because everything's consistent with the general plan.
Well, as the chair of this august commission, I'm happy to entertain a motion from one of my fellow commissioners.
Seeing no other comments, I move to adopt a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rio Grande, finding that the Capital Improvement Program for fiscal year 2017 and 18 is consistent with the City General Plan.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Absent any other comments, shall we take a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner George?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
Chair Martin?
Yes. And item 9B passes on 5-0. Let's move on as we get to the close of our meeting here tonight. There apparently were no administrative decisions since our last meeting.
That's correct.
Very good. Any commission communication, any comments that any of my fellow commissioners wish to make at this point in time?
I just want to say it wasn't the same without you two here last time.
I was going to share, I went to the Architecture Review Committee meeting yesterday.
Yes.
And there were some interesting projects that were being reviewed. We may even see them come up here. So one I was going to share, just food for thought, is it was Vista Del Mar. It was a residential subdivision, and an applicant came in and actually wanted to do a lot merge so you can do a bigger house. Several acres big. The ARC ruled that they didn't want to make that policy decision because the house was too big. It was like 12,000 square feet. And what was making and driving that home to be incredibly large is that they were doing an indoor basketball court. So I just wanted to let you guys know that may be coming our way. And then another project was a well-needed expansion to the hospital. So it's going to be just to the left of the drive-through. They're going to be doing an addition that affects, and they're going to be losing parking. But they also acquired a parcel to the north for a temporary parking lot. So there's going to be plenty of parking. I just wanted to update.
Very good.
Commission on that.
Thank you. Interesting items in the pipeline there. Any other comments? I have none to add. Any staff communications? We'll go back to item 12, where we got introduced or interjected at the beginning of the meeting.
Yes, thank you.
Any late additions to staff communications?
Thank you, Chair Martin, members of the commission. So I'm going to preempt Commissioner Mack and actually address the parking. So we actually, as we mentioned at the last meeting, we were looking at combining the parking study along with our effort on East Grand Avenue. Happy to report that I did actually get the request for proposal out for that. So we anticipate the proposals to come back in by June 2nd, which is that first Friday in June. So we're looking forward to that. It's a exciting opportunity to address all those concerns and see what deficiencies we have to enhancing the infill development down there, revitalizing East Grand Avenue and getting increased investment in that area. So no preconceived notions on how that'll turn out, but pretty excited about that. So wanted to bring that to you. In the meantime, we have also been looking at what are some of the kind of what we refer to as the low-hanging fruit options to addressing some of our deficiencies in the development code. One of the forefront examples in my mind is if you ever look at our parking section of our code, we don't actually call out the standard size for a garage. And it's little things like that that then people say, well, I can show you on a piece of paper that I can fit two cars in there. Why isn't that acceptable? So we're actually addressing some of those things. We don't have that necessarily on a timeline yet, so but we've identified a few of those. We'll probably do it, mix it in with a cleanup ordinance as we move forward. But we'll be addressing some of those things in the meantime. Also wanted to update you on the roof deck ordinance that, as you'll recall, back in February, March, we brought that item to you. We anticipate that to come back in front of you in June. We're also turning that into somewhat of a cleanup ordinance as well to address the state mandates for accessory dwelling units. So it'll be at least a two-prong, maybe three-prong ordinance or series of ordinances for review and comment and recommendation on. Two last remaining items. One is water. So we spent a lot of time in the last few years talking about the drought. The city council recently did remove the stage 1B drought restrictions and that type of thing. So we are no longer doing the baseline adjustments and no longer penalizing folks. However, I do want to report to you as you're out and about in the community, if people start saying, oh, I can use as much water as I want. Well, the limitations that were there in terms of no water Wednesdays, no pressure washing your driveway, those will remain in place. Those are kind of the city, what have been identified as the city's best management practices on water conservation. So that will continue to be in place, but you will no longer be, you won't have one unit over, you have a penalty. There won't be any of that. We anticipate those letters to go out later this week to the residents of the city. So in case you're out and about and people are talking to you, there's that bit of information. The last piece I wanted to mention, Halcyon Road Complete Streets plan project. So we've talked about this before. We had the community charrettes back in April. The plans that were presented there are actually on the project website. That's halcyoncompletestreets.com. So feel free to go there, see the documents, see the plans. You encourage other folks to go. That's how we're trying to get as much community input as we can. We've had those sets of charrettes. There's some fine-tuning of the proposals, and then we'll bring those through the review process, and they'll come before you probably in July, and then we anticipate it going to council in August. So those are the updates as they stand, and I'm here.
I got one.
There you go.
I have one. Thank you, Matt. I just wanted to let you know as a commission, because tonight would be a good night to poll you. We have a bike park proposal that came in earlier this year before I arrived, and we decided to hold a joint Planning Commission Parks and Recreation Commission meeting, since Parks and Rec, I believe, only meets once a month, which I oversee that with John, and Planning is twice a month. I was thinking of, due to notification, whether we don't have to have a special night, but I'd like to hold the meeting that night. So depending on what staff has of June 19th, I was looking at that. Alan, I wanted to make sure you were all open to that, if you were all here for June 19th, so that I could pull the commission members this week and try to set that meeting in place so I could start the notification process to the stakeholders involved. We were going to go through kind of a multifaceted approach, and it was going to be very cumbersome for staff to do. So I thought you're the best body to look at. One, Parks and Rec looks at the recreational component, you look at the land use component in CEQA and put it together, and we'll hear the arguments on the table in a public meeting in one place, not in various places. So that's something I wanted to put out to you if June 19th was free. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
What time?
June 6th or 20th. I'm thinking. I'm looking at my calendar incorrectly.
6th or 20th are our regular meeting nights?
Yeah. 6th might be a little too soon, but if you're all open to one or the other or here, then I can use that for the Parks and Rec Commission members. Unless you think you've got business on June 6th that's pending, I would rather have it. I'd rather have that the only item of the night because I expect.
Just our plans for either of those nights.
If we could put it out as long as possible, only to give me time to notify and get my arms around it, I'd like to see if June 20th is free. And if Parks and Rec, I'd like to have all five, obviously. We'll figure it out. We'll either bring some tables in. But I thought you'd be the more appropriate body because there's a recreational component, but it's a land use component. And I think that's more of why this should be held under one of your meetings rather than Parks and Rec.
I'm available.
Yeah, I'll be here.
Yeah, I'm flexible as well.
For both.
Okay. I'll check and get back to staff, and then they can coordinate with you, and we'll set that up for you.
And frankly, I think flexibility and available at the regular meeting night, but I like the idea. I think it'll make it more efficient for the use of your time, but I think it'll be a great idea for both the Parks and Rec Commission and the Planning Commission to be able to see each other and bounce ideas and issues and concerns all at the same time and get a healthy discussion at that one point.
Yeah, if we went to which commission would I go to first? And then it would bounce back to you. And then what I've done with the stakeholders involved is I've just created a hamster wheel. And I don't want to have that. I'd like to have it. And it doesn't mean that one decision can be made in one night. It could be, hey, we'd like to have staff or someone to come back with this, and this. But it actually is a little bit faster in the timeline than the original timeline we had first thought about. But light bulb went off. That's how I used to handle things, do a joint meeting on it. It's going to be a healthy discussion, and hopefully the stakeholders will be able to make it that night.
Hopefully a full house to come and participate in that conversation.
So I'll get back to Matt, and then he'll communicate with you on that as soon as possible. Thank you, Matt, for letting me.
Is that it? Nothing else?
I have one question.
Sure.
When will we see the Briscoe bridge replacement project come before us?
The Briscoe Bridge or the Bridge Street Bridge?
I'm sorry, Bridge Street Bridge.
So I believe we anticipate that the environmental should be out on the street now or should be being released here in the summertime and then be available for public consumption during the summer and then brought probably at the end of summer into the fall. It is my recollection of the last timeline that I heard. Happy to look into that. I'll forward an email if it's different.
Thank you.
Very good. Nothing else? Last time on the agenda is adjournment. Meeting's adjourned.